and welcome to Talking Golf with Anne McGorry on this Sunday morning, July 27th. How are we doing this morning? Talking Golf with Anne McGorry is brought to you by Ivy Cool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for men and women, featuring the exclusive Icefill cooling technology along with UPF 50 plus sun protection. Visit IBKUL.com to learn more. Whew, I just returned from a golf trip to Ireland late last night. So, yes, it was a great trip, but I came back a bit hoarse. So I apologize that my voice is not 100%. But it's great to be back in the U.S. of A. And, for those of you in the sports media, golf media biz, you know already. But, the golf broadcasting world lost a giant of a voice. And, man, a lovely guy, my friend Bob Bubka. Bob passed away last week at the age of 83. His career spanned six decades, including 25 years as the golf correspondent for Talk Sport in the UK. And Bob and his partner, Janice Self, they traveled the world covering golf. And I often worked next to them at their radio booth in media rooms across the country and in the UK. And Bob was a fixture on the East End of Long Island and a friend to so many. He was so much fun to be around. Everybody has tons of stories about hanging out with Bob. He just loved golf. He loved talking about golf. He loved sharing stories on and off the course. He did it in a fun and always loving way, and Bob will truly be missed. So rest in peace, Bob Bubka. You certainly were one of a kind, and my condolences go out to Janice, who took care of Bob. She was the engineer of all of his radio work. She actually discovered Bob and boosted his radio career, and my condolences and love to his entire family. All right, well, just back from Ireland last evening. It's been a wonderful 10 days there, a long trip. First at the Open Championship at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland, as you heard the show last Sunday, and then on a five-day golf media trip playing links courses in the northwest of Ireland. I'll get to details about all the courses our group played, because I highly recommend playing the links courses we played this week if you're interested in putting a golf trip together. To the northwest region of Ireland, we played Ballyliffin, we played Nairn and Portnew, we played Donegal, we played Sligo, we played Strand Hill. They're all courses I highly recommend. You know, there are just so many great courses to play in Ireland, but these are the ones I played this past week that were on the itinerary, so we'll focus on this itinerary with my two guests this hour, Bill McCuddy, a radio and TV host who experienced Ireland for the very first time this past week. It will be interesting to get his fresh perspective, and John Steinbreder, who is a senior writer, architecture, and travel editor for Global Golf Post. And he's authored over 26 books. So we'll talk to Bill and John later in the show. But, you know, first to summarize that Open Championship at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland, unbelievable. I mean, Scottie Scheffler's dominant performance in his winning his first Open Championship title, his fourth major title overall. If you watched the Open Championship last weekend, the weather was just over the top beautiful. It was dry with brilliant sunshine, and it showcased that links course in all of its glory. The Open's attendance was 278,000 fans. It marked the highest ever attendance for the Open Championship outside of St. Andrews. And even all the practice days were sold out for the first time ever at an Open Championship. And they have this Kids Go Free initiative, so 19,000 kids actually attended for free, which I think is a great initiative. And in the UK, Sky Sports recorded its most watched Open Championship ever. And then here, NBC ratings on the final Sunday averaged 4.1 million viewers, which is a 21% increase from last year. And they peaked at 6.1 million viewers last Sunday for the final round on NBC. And then you have the Open digital platforms and the social media, and that all exceeded records. It was just an incredible event. And Scottie Scheffler's four-shot win over Harris English. Scottie shot rounds of 68, 64, 67, 68 for a 17-under 287 total. And what a dominating performance, as he masterfully just maneuvered around this links layout. It was only his fifth Open Championship. So, boy, did he learn how to play links golf pretty quickly. And his win was his second major title in the last 3 months and his fourth major title in the last 3 years or so. And, you know, you had people like Rory McIlroy won four major titles in 4 years before his 11-year drought without a major title, which ended this past April, of course, when he won the Masters. And, yeah, Brooks Koepka, he was on a roll there for a while. He won four or five major titles in 3 years. And then Jordan Spieth won three in 3 years, a while ago. So, you know, these great players get on a roll. And, of course, Scotty winning his first Masters title in 2022 and then in 2024, and then the PGA Championship title this past May. And then, of course, a week ago today with the Open Championship. Now he needs a U.S. Open title to complete the career Grand Slam. And wouldn't it be great? Next June, the U.S. Open being played at Shinnecock on the east end of Long Island. A course that requires extraordinary play, consistently extraordinary play each hole. It would be incredible if he could win a U.S. Open title at Shinnecock. And, you know, Shinnecock could be perhaps even a tougher test than Oakmont was this year for the U.S. Open. So it would certainly require the best player in the world to be playing his best golf day in and day out. But boy, what fun it will be to watch for sure. I know it's a long way away. It's next June. And there's a lot happening before that. You got the FedEx Cup Championship. You got the Ryder Cup, the Masters, the PGA Championship, and all the PGA Tour events. But, boy, a U.S. Open win at Shinnecock could seal not only a career Grand Slam for Scotty, but a major win on one of golf's most ultimate tests. So, and by the look of it, man, this guy, he should continue to be unstoppable. I mean, his steady, calm attitude on and off the course. I mean, yes, he, you know, knows how to keep his emotions in check. He can be an emotional player for sure, but he's learned how to kind of control that. He's, you know, has consistently solid play. If he stays healthy, who knows how many major titles he could win. I mean, look how he came back from the hand injury he incurred last December. Took him a few months, but he came back stronger than ever. And I don't know about you, but I find myself happy when he wins because he's so easy to root for. He does not relish the spotlight. He's a humble guy. He's a very nice guy. He's a religious man. He's a positive role model. He's likable. He's honest to a fault. And he really lets his on-course performance do the talking. He's an interesting study, swing-wise, with his feet moving all over the place when he hits the ball. And, you know, a lot of people think, how can he, you know, get so much power on his tee shots when he's dancing around like that? It's so fun to watch. And then he uses that claw grip on his mallet putter, which I love watching him putt. I use the claw grip. You know, and he switched from the blade putter to the mallet and, you know, won three majors with this claw grip. So, and now a lot of golf aficionados are trying to make the comparisons between Scottie Scheffler and Tiger Woods. And I personally think it's way too early to do that. And Scottie has said that he thinks the comparisons are silly. He said in quotes, "Tiger won, what, 15 majors? This is my fourth. I've only made it a quarter of the way." He said, "I think Tiger stands alone in the game of golf." He said this on Pardon My Take, the podcast, that anytime you're mentioned alongside the greats of golf, it's an honor, he said. "But I think the comparisons are silly. Tiger transcended the sport. He was the best we'll see in our lifetime." And Scottie went on to say that he doesn't think about the comparison, but if people are comparing you to him, he said, it means you're doing something right. So he's not ready to take over, you know, the Tiger mantle for sure. Butch Harmon, I read, said that mentally Scottie is the closest thing to Jack Nicklaus he's ever seen. And they both approach life the same way in terms of putting family first. So, I mean, when you think about their mental approach to the game as well, there are a lot of similarities between Scottie and Jack Nicklaus. But hey, Scottie will have to win a bunch more major titles to be in that conversation. But hats off to Harris English, who finished in solo second place at 13 under at the Open Championship. And how about Chris Goddard with that solo third place finish at the Open 1 week after he won the Scottish Open? Very impressive play by Chris Goddard. He's 26 years old from Little Silver, New Jersey. He went to Rutgers, played golf there from 2017 to 2021 before transferring to the University of Oklahoma, where he played in the 2021-2022 season. He turned pro in 2022. He played on the Korn Ferry Tour. He had three top 10 finishes on the PGA Tour in 2023. Has two wins already on the PGA Tour. He won that Myrtle Beach Classic a year ago. And then, of course, the Scottish Open. And then this year at the U.S. Open, he finished tied for 23rd. And, of course, last week at the Open Championship, he finished in solo third. What a meteoric rise in golf, for sure, for Chris Goddard. He's playing this week at the 3M Open. And after three rounds, he is 16 under, only two shots back. He shot a 6 under yesterday. So I'll get to that leaderboard of the 3M Open in a second. But, you know, getting back to the Open Championship for a second, Rory McIlroy, he hung in there, lifted up no doubt by just the amazing reception, of course, he got from his home crowd. He grew up in Hollywood, Northern Ireland, only an hour from rural Portrush. He shot a 2 under in the final round, a 10 under for the championship for a tie for 7th with Xander Schauffele and Robert McIntyre. And it was really great to see the reception that Rory got from the home crowd. And he was enjoying it. He looked like he was having so much fun playing out there. It was really, really good to see. He approached it with a really good attitude, I thought. And Bryson DeChambeau, despite admitting that, you know, he's not too familiar with Lynx golf, he shot that stunning 7 under last Sunday in the final round. He came in 9 under overall, tied for 10th for the championship. And the crowds loved following Bryson. He definitely was a fan favorite at Royal Portrush. I enjoyed following him for, you know, a good portion on Saturday. And he, of course, will be a fan favorite at this September's Ryder Cup at Bethpage. In fact, U.S. captain Keegan Bradley confirmed to SI Golf that Bryson will be on the team, saying in quotes, "Bryson is going to be a very important piece to us winning the Ryder Cup. He brings so much. He brings energy, passion, but most importantly, he's one of the best players on the planet." I love that quote from Keegan Bradley. All right, the PGA Tour stop this week is 3M Open in Minnesota. And Akshay Bhatia and Thor Bjorn Olsen at 18 under, they take a one-shot lead into today's final round over four guys. So it's a very tight leaderboard. Bhatia, he's looking for his third victory on the PGA Tour. He shot an 8 under 63, which ties his career low round. And the women are playing the Scottish Women's Open at Dundonald Links. Love that place. I was there a couple years ago. It's a perfect setup. The players can stay right there on the premises in these beautiful cottages, and it's just a few steps away from the Links course. So great spot for a championship. And Lottie Woad, a name that has become more and more familiar to golf fans. She has a two-shot lead at 17 under. She shot a 5 under 67 yesterday and a bogey-free 7 under on Friday. She's been playing lights out, and she just turned pro. In fact, this is Woad's first pro event, and she leads Se-Young Kim and Nana Kirst-Matson by 2. Nelly Korda at 12 under is 5 shots back. Nelly shot a bogey-free 2 under yesterday. Woad has 19 birdies through 54 holes. Just incredible playing. She won the KPMG Irish Open a few weeks ago. And the final round of the Women's Scottish Open will air this morning, actually, on CNBC from 9 to 11 Eastern Time. So they are going to show the Scottish Open, the Women's Scottish Open, which is great. Lottie Woad looks to win in her pro debut. And then, of course, next week is the AIG Women's Open, which we played at Royal Porthcawl in Wales. So that would be awesome to watch. Quickly, LIV Golf is in Rochester, England. Joachim Niemann is a four-time winner. He shot a bogey-free 65 on Friday. Yesterday, he carted an 8-under 63. He has a six-shot lead going into today's final round. Bubba Watson's in second place. Coming up, I'll talk about where to play golf. If you and your friends are planning a trip to the northwest of Ireland, Bill McCuddy, radio and TV host, was part of our group. We just came back, and we'll get his take on his first trip to the Emerald Isle. And then after the 40 break, John Steinbrenner, senior writer and travel editor for Global Golf Post, will join us. Let me first tell you that Ibicol Luxury Athleisure Wear, for both men and women, offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. Ibicol offers multifunctional, intelligent moisture sensor fabrics featuring the exclusive ice fill technology that cools your skin up to 5 degrees so you can stay cool, comfortable, and odor-free on hot and humid days. Use promo code ANN20 for 20% off regularly priced items. That's www.ibkol.com. Hey, welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann LaGorie on this Sunday morning. So glad you can join us. And I'm just back from a golf trip to the northwest of Ireland after being at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland for the Open Championship. And joining me now, radio and TV host Bill McCuddy, who spent 5 days on this golf media trip, and it was his very first golf trip to the Emerald Isle. Hey, Bill, welcome to Talking Golf.
Well, longtime listener, first time caller. Thanks, Ann. I am soaking as we talk in a bathtub of Bengay. I am sore from every part of my body, but I have to tell you, as a bucket list kind of a trip, it was amazing, really amazing.
I'm so glad you were able to go, and it's not like, I mean, you play some golf. You don't play like every day, you know, in New York, right? I mean, you're what would you say, a casual golfer?
Yeah, and I'm not a member of any of the fancy clubs on the Hamptons. I go with friends that are. But yeah, I'm a 21 or 22 handicap. Something after the first day you tried to take a couple of points off of, but I proved my worth as the week went on, and probably need to be a 24 or 25 now. But
no, you played fine. You really played fine. My point is, you don't have to be a single digit to maneuver around those links courses and have a good time.
No, I think the headline here is that region, and in fact, probably the whole country, you've played more of it than I have now, is not what you think when you read about it or hear about it, that it's so intimidating. I joked before I left that I'd be taking a driver, a putter, and a weed whacker. And yeah, I lost a few balls. There's no question about it. But it's not so intimidating that you can't have a great time. And all of the courses we played start out as one thing, and you turn a corner, and you're in a cow pasture, and then suddenly you're on a cliff overlooking the Atlantic Ocean.
And yes, there were cows very close to a couple of those tee boxes.
And sheep and horses, and it's just magical. I mean, I have to tell you, I'm Irish, McCuddy, obviously, and I had never been to Ireland, so this just checked a whole lot of great boxes for me, and I can't thank Tourism Ireland enough who helped put it together. You know, I got the invitation, and I was like, oh, this is intimidating because all of you guys are going to be great, and ladies will be great golfers. And you called me and said, no, except you're going to be fine. Golf journalists aren't scratch golfers. And
that's the misnomer. Everybody thinks, oh, we play golf all the time. But, you know, I know me, I'm working all the time. So if I can play once or twice a week, that's a lot. You know, I don't go out and play every day. People think, oh, you're always playing golf. But no, I'm working, you know. So, you know, it's not, even though we're in the golf business, we don't really play as much, I think, as people think we do as golf, you know, as golf media types. But,
but let's go through. Well, I'm a film critic and I don't make movies. So, I mean, it's
exactly
very similar to that, I think, probably. I have to tell you also, I thought the people were just so warm and welcoming. A woman, I think, was Mary that headed up one of the, I think the Wednesday we played, just gave me a great big hug when we arrived. And then I said my last name, and she goes, McCuddy, you're not paying for anything. And I thought, well, I am home now. Or maybe I have some relatives that owe her money. But
that was Lynn McCool.
Sorry, Lynn.
I love it. Well, let's start. We started at Ballyliffin, which is the northernmost golf course in Ireland. And Rory McIlroy said that Ballyliffin's two courses, the Glashetti Links and the Old Links, are a must-play on any golf trip to Ireland. And I love the fact that when you go to these golf courses, you see all kinds of pictures of Rory when he was, you know, a teenager, because he won tournaments at many of these courses and shot record low scores as well. But that was our first round of golf together, Bill, and I got to tell you, we did have heavy rain at times. We did have, we had mostly, for the most part, the weather was really good. But that first round on Monday, we did deal with some heavy rain, but you didn't complain.
Well, really good weather for Ireland is maybe you see the sun and or it's a light shade of gray. I mean, but it's gorgeous. And that day really was one of my favorites because I shot a 94, which no one will be impressed listening to, but that's good for me in that kind of a situation. It did rain. You and I played together in a threesome, and you were giving me great tips. Anne is an amazing cheerleader for anyone who wants to play golf. She should be.
Of course, you didn't say amazing golfer.
Well, no, there's that too. That's a given. But
no, but you know what? You have to stay positive. You cannot, you can't worry about the last shot, you know. And look, we're not professional golfers. We go out there and have fun. You have to have fun. If you're not having
fun,
well,
I just remember thinking at the end of that day over a Guinness or two that came into play several times during the week that I did it. I can do this. I got through this first day. It was raining. It was a little cold. Not too bad. I never got chilly the whole week. But we did send, all of us sent out social media pictures of us in rain gear and you and I in knit caps. And everyone said, wait, is this July? What are you doing? It got into the 60s, but it can blow. And so you need to be, you need to have coverage if it's going to be wet.
Right. Well, I wear a cap like that just to protect my ears from the wind because I easily get earaches, but it wasn't that cold. But, you know, when you see me wearing these ski caps, you think, oh, it must be freezing over there. But
right. No,
I think it's more to keep your, you know, my head dry from it rained on that first day. I do want to say that the great Pat Ruddy designed Ballylifin, the Gachetti Lynx. And, you know, he's a former very well-known sports writer in Ireland, and he became a renowned golf course architect, and he, you know, designed the European Club, which is south of Dublin. And I just thought it was so, he also obviously designed the Gachetti course up at Ballylifin, and I just thought it was such a nice touch that they put in that dolmen monument near the first tee.
Oh, yeah,
Which was, it's such a symbol of Ireland in honor of Pat Ruddy, who has become an icon in Ireland. And so we all got, you know, got our pictures taken next to that. It's D-O-L-M-E-N. It's a symbol in Ireland. And it was wonderful to see that tribute to
it's
Pat.
It's like a baby Stonehenge right there at the beginning. And I think what's interesting about the two courses at that particular location was there's a new course and an old course. And I think so one was made by God, let's say, and the other was made by designers. And I think that everyone thinks all the courses, all the Lynx courses in Ireland are these wavy, wobbly, incredibly difficult, fescue-infested courses. And they're not. They're beautiful, and they have both of those characteristics almost on every course we played.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you keep it on the fairway, it helps, right? Like any golf course.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in the high fescue or you're going to be looking for your ball all day. But and then the second day, we were at Nearin Portneau, and Gil Hance and Jim Wagner renovated this course several years ago. And it sits on the beautiful Donegal coastline alongside this huge kind of crescent-shaped beach. And I really enjoy playing Nearin Portneau. And for me, you know, I've played all these courses through the years, you know, recording TV shows and different radio programs, you know, at these courses. And so, but the more I play them, the more I truly fall in love with these layouts and appreciate it, especially like the par 3 sixth hole at Nearin Portneau. It is just spectacular. And so many of those holes along the ocean coastline are just, you get spectacular vistas. So I think the more, you know, you kind of want to just stay at one course and play it a couple days in a row because it's, you know, once you get learn it, obviously you think you're going to do a little better. But, you know, these trips are very quick and very boom, go in, play the course, next destination. So
listen, there are some people from America. We met a couple of them, and one was a fan that brought your book and asked you to sign it and took some pictures, which was a great moment for all of us. But there are people from the United States who have discovered this region, this northwestern region, and they're buying what's called a foreign membership, and they're paying for life, 10, 15, 20. The example at the course we played at was €12,000 for a lifetime membership. And one gentleman we met, I think from Phoenix, comes over, stays in a hotel, the one we stayed in, for 3 months and plays golf.
Right. Right, that was County Sligo. The gentleman who reached out to me on social media, he bought my book, came over when we played, asked what our tea time was, and got me to sign the book, which I thought was such a nice gesture. But he
it is, but it's almost stalking, Ann. Let's be honest. No, he couldn't have been more lovely, and it was really a cool moment.
It was lovely, right? And you're right. They go over there, and they, you know, he's in Phoenix. He doesn't want to be in Phoenix in the summer, right? So he goes to Ireland. He and his wife are there for a couple months, and they play County Sligo at Ross's Point, which is spectacular. It is truly, that is a true championship test of golf.
And then you'll see the same people at the best restaurants because there are a limited number of them, and everyone knows about them. And we ran into him that night. So
I know. Yeah, the cuisine was what? How did you find the cuisine in Ireland? Were you surprised? Or
yeah,
what,
I think where it isn't pubby. I mean, it was pubby in a lot of places, and fish and chips and chowder was great. But I think they're upping the game in that regard as well, because we ate a couple of outstanding kind of New York level meals. One at a castle that we'll talk about, I guess, in a second, and the other one on our last night there outside of Dublin. So I think the cuisine. Listen, the hospitality hasn't been something they were doing from a lodging standpoint. We stayed at a castle that was dormant until 2007. So that just demonstrates how no one was really going there before then, before you and other people that write about golf started going over there and writing about it. So or doing TV stuff. I think, you know, it's booming, and the food is only going to get better.
Loch Esk Castle is in Donegal, and yeah, a lot of times you stay in these either castles or manor homes, estate homes, B&Bs. I mean, the variety of accommodations is pretty extraordinary. But Loch Esk Castle, as you say, I think they just they restored it just as recently as 2007.
Yeah, that's
and
what
it's a great spot
for $50 million, and it shows. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a fun place to stay, obviously. To stay in a castle is pretty extraordinary. But and it's close to these various courses that we did play in Donegal. I do want to, you know, mention, we had mentioned Lynn McCool, but how did you like the reception we got from her and her team at Donegal Golf Club, which is located on the Mervaw Peninsula in South Donegal? This course was originally designed by Eddie Hackett, as you know, and Pat Ruddy, who I talked about earlier in the show. He molded it through the years. And then Paul McGinley is refurbishing some of the holes at Donegal. But how about after nine, you make the turn, and there's, you know, Lynn and her staff bringing out seafood chowder
right.
and Guinness and
yeah.
Bulmers. That was
invaluable. I mean, it was a little blustery that day, too. So and then we had lunch after 18 there. And I must say that everywhere we went, the managers or owners of the clubs had lunch with us. They were wanting to answer any of our questions, and they're really just welcoming anyone over there that wants to experience it and talk about it. So, yeah, that was crazy. They were all standing there, a little group of people on after 9 on to 10, and that was just an example of the hospitality I was talking about earlier, where we get a big hug or you get you know, a little inside intel on this hole or that hole. The other thing that's really interesting we should tell people when they go is, besides seeing people you'll know in restaurants and maybe some of the hotels, everyone there talks about golf. Your bartender, your cabbie, your anybody. And they want to know where you played today and where are you playing tomorrow. And one of the saloon keepers said we were playing on the fifth day, the course that you'll name in a second, because I didn't write anything
right.
down.
Strand Hill,
County sorry, Sniper, yes.
Which I loved. What a
he said, gem. If the wind is blowing in your face, you'll have a great round. If the wind's blowing behind you, I used an expletive, and and we left, and then we got there that day remembering it, and the wind was starting to go across us, so we didn't know what to take from that.
Yeah, we actually played together on our fifth day as well at Strand
right.
Hill, and
right.
boy, those first six holes, and then you know, meandering along the coastline there and the mountain, which the Knock Na Ré Mountain, translated as Hill of the Queen.
that was for you, Anne. And then you were really taken with some of that scenery, and I don't blame you. We also had not wild horses, but people on horses riding along the beach there. It was really like a scene out of a movie.
Now, if you were to go back, how would you prepare for your next trip as far as your game goes, as far as playing Lynx golf, Bill?
I would bring a lot more balls. and I think I would concentrate on my short game and not they say you don't pull your driver out every time, but you can leave it at home. That's also a misnomer because some of the one Sligo that we played on Thursday, I dubbed the Shillelagh Shinnecock because it's just long. That first hole going straight up, you think you're heading to the moon. And I would definitely want a killer short game because they have these things called, I called them moats, but they were a little dugout.
Like burns.
Burns
yeah.
around some of the holes that made them extremely difficult. So you have to pop and drop. And So
which
I think
you did a number of times.
but I also, you know what I have at home that I left here? And this is, we're getting way in the weeds, but that's where I was most of the week, way in the weeds. I would have brought a 64. I have a 60 in my bag. I would have brought a 64 to get out of some of those really deep sand. There's a name for those
bunkers,
sand traps,
yeah.
The pot boilers or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, potholes, yeah. Well, you also enjoyed the pub scene a lot after dinner, and you caught some Irish folk music, right?
Yeah, that was like, I don't know if you remember this movie called Once. It then became a Broadway show where you could actually go up on stage before the show and have a beer, and then the show just sort of started. We had an experience just like that on the Thursday night there, where we wandered in, a couple of us, to a small bar where an Irish-Italian woman was, young woman was singing with two or three other people on different various small guitars and a keyboard. And it was a scene right out of a movie. And what happened that was most interesting was we got there, I guess, early-ish in round 9, and by 11 or 12, the place was jammed. And it was not a touristy situation at all. It was completely local and organic and very, very cool. So there are those things that also you can do in the evening that are amazing.
Well, it's great to get your perspective. Bill McCuddy, with a name like McCuddy, you may want to try to get Irish citizenship for sure. Hey, thanks so much for joining me. Have a great rest of the morning.
Thank
and
you.
So
and
glad
thank
you could experience.
Everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Coming up, we'll talk. Continue to talk Irish golf, architecture, pubs, and cuisine with John Steinbreder, senior writer, golf and travel and architecture for Global Golf Post. But first, let me tell you that Ibico Luxury Athleisure Wear for both men and women offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. Ibico offers multifunctional, intelligent moisture sensor fabrics featuring the exclusive IceFill technology that cools your skin up to 5 degrees so you can stay cool, comfortable, and odor-free on hot and humid days. Use promo code AN20 for 20% off regularly priced items at www.ibkol.com. Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori as we continue to talk about the Open Championship at Royal Portrush and golfing in the north and west of Ireland. My guest, veteran golf writer extraordinaire John Steinbreder, senior writer of golf, travel, and architecture for Global Golf Post. Hey, welcome to Talking Golf, John.
Good morning, Ann. Great to be with you, and thanks for having me.
Hey, great trip, right? To an area, a road less traveled, as you called it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite parts of the world to go for golf, and there's just nothing quite like the golf courses, the seaside links, which we all love, and enjoying such a big part of Ireland. And then, you know, the people up there, and we talk about it constantly. I've been to Ireland 15 times, and every time I come back from there, I still can't stop talking about the quality of the golf, but also the quality of the people and the experience. It is really a joyous time, no matter how many balls you lose and how many putts you miss.
But you played pretty well. We had a great time playing with you. And it is, you know, the northwest part of the country, as you called it, is a road less traveled. But, you know, the area is quickly gaining a lot of notoriety. More and more Americans are going there and staying there for weeks at a time and just experiencing, you know, golf in that region.
Yeah, I think one of the things is the fact that it is a little bit less traveled. You have a little bit better access to tee times, I think. So you're more likely to be able to find the days and the places you want to go up there than you are in other parts of Ireland, perhaps the southwest or even in the Northern Ireland with County Down and Royal Portrush as well, just because of their popularity and their notoriety. They're just so well known. So that's a little bit helpful. I like that. And it is a little less traveled. It's a little bit quieter. And you just there's that welcome up there. They're just so grateful to have you, and they have time to spend with you. As you know, every place we went to, the men's captain, the ladies' captain, people would come over and sit down with you and chat with you about your golf game, how you like the course, how you like the club, and there's just a sort of a real old home feel to it all that feels like home, and that's what I really like about it. And again, the fact that you can pretty much book your trip up there when you want to book it based on the fact it's a little bit less traveled, as you say.
And then this itinerary was 5 courses: Ballyliffin, Nairn, Port New, Donegal, Sligo, and Strand Hill. I'd love to hear your thoughts on these links courses, John.
Well, I love Valley Lippin. You know, our good friend up there, John Farron, who looks after us, is a great guy. But it's, you know, two 18-hole courses there. You know, they had the British Amateur, or the Amateur Championship, as it's now called, really, because it's held outside Britain, but as it was at Ballylithen. Two wonderful courses there in Gashidi and also the Old Course. And I love that because you can stay in that area for a couple of days, right in that beautiful town. It's the northernmost golf course in Ireland, which I love. The ocean's right there. And it's a great place to kind of hang a little bit. And, you know, Nairnport New, Gil Hance revamped links course, again, right on the water. Wonderful golf, great place to play. Donegal Golf Course as well. Again, links course right on the water. County Sligo, also known as Ross's Point, one of my favorites. A tough walk in that second hole climbing up that hill, but, I mean, one of the most beautiful settings in golf you can imagine. And then we finished up at Strand Hill, which I'd never played before, which I fell deeply in love with. You know, having two birdies on the front helped, of course.
just yeah, great, Strand Hill course. Was, after Sligo, was a really great test. They've had a lot of championships there. It's a fair test, but it's tough. And the greens there are very, very quick. And I thought Strand Hill is the kind of course that you could play more often. And, you know, it's a great, it's a good test, but it doesn't beat you up, right?
No, I would say that for sure. And the thing that really impressed me about Sligo, which, of course, you and I talked about the name, it's such a great name, and it's a beautiful start, a nice sort of gentle rising hill up to the first green. And the greens are as good greens as you'll play anywhere. They were really immaculate. They were beautifully conditioned. They had good speed to them. Unfortunately, I was struggling certainly with the speed because they were faster than some of the other greens we had played. But what a great golf course. But I think one of our colleagues said it best. I think Strand Hill is a course you would play every day, and Sligo maybe not quite every day, but it's one you got to see because of its history there, its beauty, its location, and it's just a great place for links golf.
Yeah, County Sligo at Ross's Point, spectacular. A course carved by earth, winds, and water, as it states on its website. And it was named the Irish Golf Course of the Year in 2024. And I love that Ben Bulbin Mountain. It's just a spectacular-shaped mountain that's in view from every hole. And it just is a very special backdrop on many of the holes. When I play golf, I play it like a photographer would play it and just look at it as a piece of art. And, you know, I'm taking pictures and trying to capture all the incredible scenery. And then, of course, at Strand Hill, you had the views of the Naree, N-A-R-A-E mountain, translated as Hill of the Queen. And it just cast this incredible spell over the holes closer to the mountain, the first maybe six holes, and just a really, really special place. So, what a really great itinerary. I thought I really enjoyed this itinerary.
Well, I love it. It was great. Not too much traveling. You know, you're in two counties, in County Donegal and County Sligo. You're talking about Strand Hill. I was just sort of laughing because I remember you and the group right in front of me looking at the four people on horseback riding along the sandbars there at the lower tide in the estuary as well. Nairnport New, the big sort of brownish, you know, dark, rich, almost coffee-colored brown hairs that would pop out of the marram grass and the dunes and scamper across the fairways. I've seen dolphins in the waters off of Nairnport New before, just rolling as we come up to the seventh green there. I mean, just the visuals are so good. I spend so much time stopping and just gawking around and looking at everything. And I always make a point of looking behind me at the course we're playing and looking back at everything. And it is visually so great. And the walk is as good as the golf itself. And that's one thing I like so much about it. And we've talked about it. My wife, Cynthia, is not a golfer, but she loves going over there with me just to walk the courses because it's some of the most beautiful places on earth.
Right, just stunning scenery from every viewpoint, really. Well, you have written about the changes that you've seen in Ireland in terms of golf. Can you talk a little bit about it? Some of the changes that you've seen? Because you've been going over as long as I've been going over for a couple decades now, and it has changed.
It has changed, and I think, you know, definitely, you know, changes, improvements, I would say. I mean, first of all, the food. When I was first over in Ireland, and everybody sort of joked about the food being all, you know, corned beef and cabbage and boiled meats and boiled potatoes, and there was nothing
And John Dory was on every menu, the John Dory fish.
There was just nothing about it that was that appealing, and right now, and then as we had some meals, I mean, it's really, I described it as Michelin star good. There's lots of good restaurants. The seafood's incredible over there, and they go to great lengths to get you the freshest and the best on the tables at nighttime, which is really fun. The lamb and the beef, grass fed, and again, very local, very good. It's really quite. You can have great dining experiences over there without getting too fancy. And then there's a ubiquitous seafood chowder, which I kind of have at the end of every round if I possibly can in the clubhouse there. Just a nice good bowl of hearty seafood chowder, and it's each one's a little different and each one is really good. So that's a big thing to me. And the other thing is just the road network is much more modernized in a lot of the country. When I first was over there, we would get stuck at least once a day behind a herd of sheep being moved down a country lane by some person as we're scrambling to get to a tea time. And there's acquaintance to it, which is a lot of fun, but there was also sort of a frustration a little bit. And it's the road system is so good there right now, and you can get around as we have before really easily and get pretty much, I think our friend Rory was telling us that you can go from, you know, kind of top to bottom in, you know, 6 hours of the island of Ireland now. And that's pretty amazing. And it didn't used to be that way at all. And in fact, a lot of people, when I first started going over there, more well-to-do would take helicopters. And
that's
because
right.
It was so hard to get around. And right now it's much, much easier to get around. You miss getting stuck behind the sheep occasionally, but there's still a lot of them along the sides of the road.
Yeah, I love the country roads. That's one of my favorite things to do in Ireland is just drive along those country roads and explore, you know, the scenic beauty. Hey, we have to wrap this up, but quickly, is it true Guinness tastes better in Ireland than the United States, in your opinion?
I certainly think it does, and people say it's because of the kegs are closer to the tap, so that's one reason, and also because they sell so much of it. The lines are very clean and very clear, and I don't know what it is, but there's something about Guinness on tap that's pretty good. And as you know, I've become a fan of Guinness Zero, which is also on tap over there. It is one more advance in the world of Irish golf that makes me yearn for another trip over there sooner rather than later.
That's right. Non-alcoholic Guinness. Guinness Zero. That was great to see. John, thank you so much. I love your writing. You are a true journalist, you know, through and through. And I love to see you work because you're always working, but you do great work. So continued success.
Thanks so much, Anna. It was great to be with you, and that was a wonderful trip, and it's great to be on your show. Thanks, you.
Thanks so much. My thanks to John Steinbretter, to Bill McCuddy, and to Ed Arzuman in the studio. Talking Golf with Anna Liguori is brought to you by IB Cool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive Icefield cooling technology along with UPS 50 Plus sun protection. Visit ibkul.com to learn more. Hey, as much as I love golfing in Ireland and other parts of the world, there is no place like home, the U.S. of A. It's great to be back. Have a great week, and I look forward to visiting with you again next Sunday right here on Talking Golf with Anne Liguori.